on, good evening, everybody. Are we still excited about Jesus? Oh, no, that's good. That's good for us. Are we still excited about Jesus? The same Jesus that we come in and worship on Sundays, the same Jesus that exists tonight. Can you stand with us as we worship? This first song we're going to sing is a song that we all know. It says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, Father, we want to see you. God, we want to see you for who you are. We want to see you high and lifted up, shining your light and your glory. Open our eyes, God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
cry tonight, can we lift our hands to a God that we desire to see?
God, our hearts want to know you. It's our one desire to see you. We want to see you, God, like never before.
Yes, Lord.
We want to see you for who you are to us. We've got to see you. We've got to see our God, the lover of our souls. We want to see you. So we'll call you holy. We'll cast down our crown, Jesus. We'll call you holy, God, 'cause we want to see you.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
We'll stay right here and call you holy. We'll stay right here and call you wonderful, God.
Yeah, we want to see. So Father, tonight, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts, 'cause we want to see you. We want to see you. Can we sing that? Open the eyes of our hearts.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. Open the eyes
of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
My son will sing. Open the eyes of
desire to know your heart. We desire to know your ways, Father. So, Lord, tonight as we gather, we pray that you open our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Let us see you. Let us hear you. Let us experience you in a way that we've never done before, God. And God, right now, we speak Jesus. We speak the name above every other name. The only name that is able to sustain us. The only name that is able to keep us. We speak the mighty, holy, righteous, sovereign, keeping, unwavering name of Jesus Christ. Because God, that is the only name we need. That's the only name we need to stand on. Sometimes we have a tendency to put our faith in our jobs. We put our faith in our relationships. We put our faith in our obligations and responsibility. But church, the truth of the matter is the only foundation that we need is the foundation of our Father Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that the Father is all you need?
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. So I speak Jesus. Yeah.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak. speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn
is interesting to me. It's interesting to me that that song lyric is almost a command. You break every stronghold. You break every evil spirit that comes up against you. You don't have the power to do it, but you have the one inside of you that has the power to do it. Come on. So you break it. Amen. Maybe right where you are right now, maybe some of you have wandered in here tonight and there's something that needs to be broken off of your life. Come on, just take authority over it right where you are. You know, we live in a culture today that has built up an expectation. We're going to talk about it tonight about, you know, the power of the pastor's hand or the power of the pastor's prayer. But he said, if that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, come on, in you, then it will quicken your mortal body. Amen. And so you're a carrier of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about on these Wednesday nights. Think about that. You're a carrier. You're able to speak to your own situation. Well, if I could just get Pastor to pray for me. No. If you could just speak to that situation yourself. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Be glad to. But why wait, okay? Well, when I go to church on Sunday, I'm going to the altar. No, why wait till Sunday? Why go through it Friday and Saturday? Why don't you just go ahead and take authority over it in the name of Jesus? So is anybody in here tonight, there's something you just say, Pastor, I need to break something off of my life tonight. Come on, anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Just join me right now. Just take authority over it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority that is mine on the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. And I break it. I speak the name of Jesus over whatever it is. Call it like it is right where you are. I speak the name of Jesus over that vice that is knocking on my heart's door. I speak the name of Jesus over that addiction that tries to work its way back into my system, my spiritual DNA. God, I pray right now that you would enable your people to walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' strong name. Lord, we thank you, God, that every curse is broken. Every stronghold is broken in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Just as you said on the cross, it is complete. It's finished, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, sing that chorus again. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it with us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love.
You break it. You break it.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give him praise tonight. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we exalt you. We lift you up, God. We acknowledge, God, your presence among us tonight. We thank you for just a refreshing, Lord, a spirit of refreshing upon us. God, we're in the middle of the week. We're on the home stretch, God, to the weekend. And we pray, Lord, that you would just empower your people tonight with your word. Just quicken our hearts, God, to your truths. And God, we thank you for it. I pray that you would touch those, God, who are watching online, those that have joined us from wherever, God, that you would just speak to their hearts as well. And we give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, smile at somebody before you're seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, would you just do us a favor and just quickly, all you got to do is look down at the bottom right of your screen and hit share. Amen. Share means you ain't just holding this for yourself. Come on. Amen. Share. Share. Share this broadcast with other people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Every believer in this room tonight, every one of us, have been given unique giftings. Come on, somebody say, I'm gifted. Amen. Amen. How many of you, just to be honest enough tonight, how many of you would just say, Pastor, I recognize that there is a gifting on my life and I know what it is. Can I see your hand? Yes. All right. Amen. Look at that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Unless you're like Corey, you're just undecided, you know. He's like, yeah. I think there might be a little something there. I think there's hope for Corey, don't you? Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you would say, Pastor, I want to be used by God, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what my unique gifting is. Would you be honest and raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I want to tell you, man, you're a candidate for being juiced by the Holy Ghost. Amen. God can empower you, give you what you need, help you discover. I want to say a few things tonight that may be challenging for us, but I hope I say some things tonight that will be encouraging to us all. Every believer in this room, every one of us, you know, especially I'm honored to have young people in here. That's just amazing. You guys are a culture that we envy. One reason is because we don't want a senior citizen discount. We really don't, okay? We don't mind playing full price for a hamburger. I really don't, you know? No, seriously, we're honored that you're here because you are that specific generation of people that God seems to be just moving powerfully in today. So I honor you tonight as young people. Give them a hand, would you? Go on. Hallelujah. So God's given us unique giftings, specific opportunities inside of us to be used by God for the enhancement of His kingdom in the earth. Every believer is a minister of the gospel. Amen. Can I just be honest with you and say I've had my quota of hearing about apostle so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. And can I just, I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't need to ask you anyway, I'm just going to say it, okay? I've had my quota of those flags being waved to have to declare that you are an apostle or you are a prophet or you are, you know, the Bible says a man's gift will make room for him, okay? And I like what my dear friend Courtney McBeth said. If you have to tell somebody you're the leader, you're probably not. Okay? Will you let that sink in on you for just a second? If you have to tell somebody that you're the leader, you're probably not. And that's something that we need to learn from. It's just important to make sure your focus is on the right thing. And so I've kind of got my quota. Sometimes I watch people and I listen to people, and they're making claims to being something that I don't see the evidence or the fruit of it in their life. And it kind of puzzles me sometimes. I wish the church at large was more directed toward a towel perspective. Towels like what you take a shower and you get out and you grab a towel. I wish the church at large were more towel-oriented than they were title-oriented. Okay? More towel-oriented than they were title-oriented. Jesus set the precedent. Jesus said this. Think about this now. Jesus himself said this. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And, he takes it farther, and to give my life as a ransom for many. So he set the precedent. He laid the foundation down that what he's looking for, help me here, is a house full of what? Servants. I just counted up in my mind just a few moments ago, standing there on the front row. In this room alone, there are 20 volunteers, 20, 22 volunteers that are making this gathering on Wednesday night possible tonight. You say, wait a minute, what are you, 20-some? 20-some people, from pastor to, there's camera guys, there's sound, there's lighting, there's live streaming, there's guitars, there's drums, there's bass, there's keyboard, there's vocals, there's, listen, it just goes on and on and on, of people that are giving of themselves, here we go, out of their gifting. Okay? Man, I can't even turn the thing on. Okay? I had to call the other day. It's the first time I've ever turned that computer on since we've had it. I didn't even know how to turn it on, so I needed to turn it on for just a reason. I was showing something to someone, and I needed to turn it on. And so I called Denise. I said, Denise, can you help me here? And she said, Pastor, this is going to sound strange, but she said, just follow my direction. Take your hand and stick it on the back of that machine in the far left-hand corner. So I got to get on this side of it. And she said, you're not going to feel it. But she said, just keep on kind of running your finger around and you're going to feel just a slight little difference. And she said, I said, oh, yeah, I got it. She said, push on that. Okay. And I pushed on it, and guess what? Sparks flew, lights came on. Man, we got juice, okay? Because honestly, if you'd have told me that that's how you turned it on, I wouldn't have believed you. But she knew how to do it, okay? And she's only been on this piece of equipment for just a few weeks. And it's like everything else. It used to be this big, and now it's this big. And it has shrunk. Honey, I shrunk the computer, come on. It's shrunk, and it's a different machine today. But it takes someone who does what? Knows how to operate it, okay? And that's what these Wednesday nights are about, and we're gonna lay another layer of foundation on it, and then in the subsequent Wednesday nights we're gonna start jumping in on spiritual gifts in category, okay? There's multiple categories of what the Bible has defined as spiritual giftings. I mean, listen, it's a spiritual gift for you to clean the house of the Lord. It's a gift of God that someone would take that kind of heart to just say, hey, I want to be involved. I remember our last equip gathering, we had people, how would you like to serve the Lord? We had people say, I'd like to help in the flower beds. Come on. I mean, wow, somebody wrote that down. I want to help in the flower beds. As a matter of fact, somebody else told me today, hey, I know someone who has expressed a desire to help with the flowers whenever you have like a special day or something, they'd like to help with the flowers. Do you know that has to come from God? Because to me, working in the flowers is like something from the devil, okay? Grass, you know, wire grass. I mean, wire grass is from the bad place, okay? You know what I'm saying? But yet there are some people who enjoy making those things look beautiful, okay? So we're going to be laying a foundation tonight about how we're described in the Bible. And then we won't get into spiritual gifts per se tonight, but I'm still just putting another layer on this. Jesus set the precedent that we are to be people who are servants. Even at crunch time for Jesus. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about even when he was working his way down to, you know, it wouldn't be long before he'd be suspended on the cross. He's having a meal with his disciples. And even the knowledge that he had that someone was going to betray him, the knowledge that he had that he was getting ready to have a staff meeting in so many ways, and that one of his staff pastors was getting ready to turn his back on him, betray him. And what did he choose to do? He chose to take a towel and a basin of water and wash their feet. He served them. That's why I said to you, people are so oriented to title. In fact, let me just tell you, I'll give you two examples. One gentleman that I have known for years who has an earned doctorate degree has corrected me twice when I spoke to him privately, not publicly. I said, I'm not going to call his name. I said, hey, Pastor, and I said his name. He said, it's doctor. I said, oh, excuse me. Well, I knew it. But I didn't think it was mandatory in the back room or in the, I was looking for behind closed doors. I didn't think it was mandatory everywhere. He said, it's doctor. And so I thought maybe that's just because he just received the doctorate. And then I saw him about 2 years later, and I said, "Hey, Pastor," and I called his first name again. He said, it's Doctor. Okay. All right. Doctor? Okay. All right. But is it really that important? What I'm saying to you is I wish that we would get the reality that what is most important is the heart of a servant. Okay? I received a doctorate several years ago. Dr. White from Chowan University came and did that service. And one of my close friends said, "Well, I guess everything changes for you now." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're Dr. Phillips." I said, "Well, I'm not sure what you mean." I said, "I don't think anything's going to really change." I said, "Because I'm the person, the same person that I was before I received this." Now, I have a great appreciation for academia. I do. I acknowledge people's pursuits and am glad for them. But it is, listen, that more important is the condition of your heart than the letters behind your name. Okay? More important. It's so important. So Jesus is asking us, what's important to you? And he modeled this. At his last staff meeting, he takes a towel and he washes the feet of the disciples, signalizing the role of a servant, the role of a servant. Remember last week, one of the foundational verses that we used was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going back and hit that again just a second for a reason. But you are a chosen people, and I've underscored for you here, a what? A royal priesthood, okay? You're a royal priesthood. A collective gathering of what? Priests. A collective gathering of priests. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I've underscored for us that royal priesthood because you and I must come to that understanding, that reality in our lives, that we are ministers under God's directive. God has released us, commissioned us, called us. Once you know, my superintendent said this when I was graduating many, many years ago at Southeastern University. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before, but there was 714 in my freshman class at Southeastern University, Lakeland, Florida. And the night we graduated, there were, as a senior, remember, 714, and 102 of us walked the line at graduation. There were a lot of quitters, a lot of people who's, you know, just fell out along the way, but 102. And I never will forget what Dr. Cookman said. He said, "All of your life before Christ, you heard him saying unto you, 'Come, come unto me.' He was drawing you unto himself. And he said, 'Now that you've come unto him and you've submitted your life to his call for salvation, and those of you that are here graduating in this class, you've committed yourself to preparation for the ministry of the gospel.' Now he says the very opposite. He switches the message. And instead of saying, 'Come,' now he's saying what? 'Go. Go ye into all the world and proclaim the good news.'" And so every one of us, when we signed up at Calvary's cross for salvation and repented of our sins, we have this divine mandate on our lives to go preach the gospel. To go and preach the gospel. In fact, this is not something that just happened in the New Covenant. This is not, this idea of being a priesthood did not develop just in the New Covenant, because it was Moses who said these words to the Israelites. Here's what it says in Exodus 19, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. He says, "Now, if you obey me fully," Moses is receiving his download at Sinai. He says, "If you obey me fully and you keep my covenant, then out of all nations," look at what he says. He's making a statement to them. "Out of all nations, you," who's he speaking to? The Jewish people. He says, "Out of all nations, these Israelites, you will be my" what? "Treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine," okay, "you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And then he reminds them, listen, these are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. I said Moses is getting his download. He's getting his directive from the Lord. And the Lord tells him, listen, you tell these people that they are to be for me a kingdom of priests. They are to be for me a holy nation. You see, you and I get the privilege of being grafted in. We're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. What does that mean? We're not Jews. Okay? We're not Jews. And we get a clear understanding here that you and I come in through what's called adoption. Okay? I'm a blessed man because I have 6 grandchildren. Number 7 will be here in July. And 3 of my grandchildren are adopted. Okay? I was in a church in Dallas, Texas, and I was not able to be at the adoption ceremony when the judge lowered the gavel and said, "It's official, you are now Caleb and Levi Phillips." And I mean, it was a beautiful service. I was watching it live stream because I was outside of Robert Morris's church in Texas, and Pastor Joy was holding up the camera for me to see. But such a joy for those kids to receive their family name, to be grafted in, if you will, to the Phillips family, okay? And it turned the light on for me because, you know, I'd never had any experience with adoption before. I knew people that had an adopted child, but there'd never really been any depth of conversation about it, or, hey, how was this? What did you guys go through? But then all of a sudden we find our own family receiving, you know, Caleb and Levi was a telephone call on a Monday morning, 9 o'clock. "Hey, just want to ask you a question. Today, would you take a 7-month-old and a 2-year-old if it happened sometime this morning?" That's not what you're looking for on a Monday morning, is it? No, no. But this is the way it happened, isn't it, Pastor Joy? On a Monday morning, a telephone call. And so it's 9 o'clock now. We think it's going to happen. Just wanted to ask you first, if it happens, are you willing to say yes? And they converged on telephone, Joshua and Cassandra, talked for a few minutes and said, "Well, yeah, I'm ready." I mean, it was like, "Hey, get some clothes, go to the store." I mean, when we finally got the word yes, "We're going to have 2 new grandchildren today." We're running around, man, trying to find everything, you know, getting ready, because none of us knew it was going to happen. And we received those precious children just like that. And then that was just a preliminary thing under foster care. But the time came when the grafting in took place and the official ceremony and the name change and everything that goes with it. And it gave me an understanding. Listen, you have been grafted in, and your elder brother, you have an elder brother. Did you know that? His name is Jesus, okay? You are grafted in. You have been grafted into the family of God. You were not a Jew, but now you have this Jewish heritage, okay? You were not, but now you are. You're a shoot off the root, okay? And you've been grafted in. What a beautiful thing. It wasn't plan B for God. It was plan A all along. Listen to what he says. He says in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, "For he chose us in him." When was his choosing taking place? "Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predetermined, he predestined us for what? For adoption." God in his sovereignty. That's why I said it. This wasn't plan B. This was the plan from the foundation of the world. He predestined for us to adoption to what? To sonship. Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with what? With his pleasure and his will. It pleased the Father to claim you as his own. Amen. I mean, that's why you and I need to get an understanding in our hearts and in our minds that God has his hand on humanity. God wants everybody that you come in contact with. That's why you have a great message. You've been given a great message of reconciliation to God, as Paul told the church at Corinth. You've been given this great message, and God has placed this call on your life to share the ministry and the message of reconciling people to himself. That's what your ministry is. Well, I don't really know what my ministry is. This is it. This is it. You are chosen by God to enlarge the kingdom, to enhance the kingdom by adding to it and sharing your story, okay? So he's predetermined for you to do that. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God through adoption. We're a joint heir with Jesus, our elder brother. Adoption is so powerful. And so we're a part of this holy nation, a part of this royal priesthood of believers. And every single one of those believers, you and me, all have these unique gifts and these unique contributions that God has given us. I have to say honestly, in my life, when I was growing up, I knew there was something about me. I didn't understand it all. I grew up in a little rural town here in northeastern North Carolina, and I was in the church, and it seemed like if there were, you know, like we had these kids groups, and they were in the Baptist church, we called them RAs, Royal Ambassadors, and then they had the GAs, Girls in Action, okay? And so I grew up under that paradigm, okay, in the SBC church. But I can remember as a kid, like every time that like the youth or the kids were having a service in the sanctuary and we were asked to participate, all fingers were pointed at me. Oh, Wallace will do it. Okay? And I remember as a kid feeling like there's something different about me. Okay? And I was in line. I believe God was directing my path, and he was charting the course for me, laying out my life. And then, you know, my salvation story, as I grew up, I walked away from the things of God. And at 18 years old, I'm out there just, you know, just partying up and having a good time. I was a student at NC State University, and I was just exploring liberty and freedom because my daddy was nowhere around, okay? And I did what I wanted to do, and it was none of his business. That's the way I acted. He can't tell me how now. He can't tell me where now. He can't tell me no now. And I was on my own, and I experimented in an ungodly world in a bad way. And I came home on the weekend, and God sovereignly, divinely set me up with joy and pulled me out of darkness, pulled me out of a life of sinful behavior. And I didn't even, I mean, my youngest son and I were talking about this just a couple of days ago. I said, when your mom and I started seeing each other, I said, I didn't even want marriage. I was like, who's next? Who am I going off with next weekend? And who am I going to this party with next weekend? I was all about me and my riotous living. And I went off with her. And again, something clicked. And I thought, I just felt like something said to me, you're getting ready to get married. And I was like, no, I ain't, okay? No, I'm not. And Zach asked me the other day, he said, how long did you date mom before you married? I said, man, we started seeing each other, and with a year, we was married. And his eyes turned as big as saucers. He said, wow. Then he changed the subject for some reason. I don't know, okay? But I said, Zach, do you remember a few months ago, I said, right on the front row, I came to you and I gave you a prophetic word. And the Lord said, Zach, buckle your seatbelt. I'm getting ready to take you on a fast ride. I prophetically spoke over his life. Okay? That's what happened to me. I went on a fast ride, and the journey, the destination was salvation through Jesus Christ. And my wife is the one who introduced me to such a life. And you know what? The old timers were right. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It's true. It gets sweeter as the days go by. God has been good to us. God has made provision for us. We have beautiful children, all who love Jesus, all who are serving the Lord. We have wonderful grandchildren. God has blessed us. Listen, you can't go wrong with Jesus Christ. You can't. You cannot go wrong. You put him first, and everything else will take care of itself. And so in this great plan, every one of us has this unique ability that God has given us. Some of us are activating those abilities, and some of us are not. Some of us are being used somewhat to a good portion of our potential, or even our greatest potential, and some of us are just an untapped resource. We're sitting there with we're pregnant with possibilities, and we're not being used. And God wants to shake that in your life and in my life on these Wednesday nights, I believe God is going to shake open. God's going to shake open some stale places in our lives. And we're going to leave in the end of June, this season that we've set aside. And even in this room, some of you will prophesy for the very first time over someone else. Okay? We're gonna move and shake those things. We're going to fan into flame. We're going to stir up the gifts of God that are in you through the laying on of hands. I believe God's going to do those things right here in this room. Come on, give him praise tonight. You know, we're not called with our giftings. We're not called to compete against one another. We don't compete. Come on, somebody. We complete. We complete, okay? It's teamwork that makes what? The dream work. We don't compete against each other. We complete each other. And so, listen, like a team, like just led us tonight. I just heard them over there singing. And I thought, wow, man, what a presence of God. The service isn't even started. And I heard them singing and all hitting their notes and hitting their parts. And I thought, wow, how heavenly that sounds. Did you hear them as you were sitting there waiting? I thought, how heavenly that sounds. Every musician strikes his key, hits his chord, taps his drum, hits the keys, whatever. And there's a symphony synchronized together for the same purpose, to come into this room tonight to worship him, to declare his worth and his value in our lives, so that we can move forward and move ahead of it into the things of God, releasing and activating the gifts that he has placed in our lives. I have great expectation for these services, these meetings. I really do have great expectations. Romans 12 says this, verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he says this, he goes off on this trail here. If your gift is prophesying, then do what? Prophesy. If your gift is serving, verse 7, what? Then serve. Make the cookies. Stay in the nursery. Okay? Whatever service that you do. If it is teaching, then do what? Teach. If your gift is encouraging, then encourage someone. If it's giving, open up your pocketbook and give. Or make a cake and take it to someone who maybe cannot get anything like that. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. The reason I selected this passage as I was laying out this study for tonight is this. The point I want to make is that big word, if your gift is this, then what are you to do with that gift? You're to walk in that gift. You're to exercise that gift. You're to execute that gift. You're to minister that gift. But let me just tell you something. If it is not your gift, don't do it. Okay? Listen, that's why it's important who's at the door. There's some people in the body of Christ that just don't have the spirit of joy on them like they should. Do you know people? Don't look around now. We don't want anybody. Don't look around. Just look. You just look at me, okay? Do you know people that just don't look joyful? They're not greeters, okay? They're not greeters. Just like this worship team. Listen, some of you don't belong on it, okay? Because maybe you can't sing, okay? So maybe you don't belong on the worship team. But if your gift is, then what you should realize is that God has gifted you, okay? And most people, this is what I've discovered as a pastor, most people who really have a heart to serve the Lord, they don't just come to you. And Pastor Frank can probably relate to this. He's pastored a church before, but if you've pastored a church before and you have this person comes to you and they're brand new and you say, oh, it's nice to see you. What's your name? Well, my name is John and I'm a great teacher. Well, nice to meet you, John. Okay. If they tell you right away what their credentials and their long list of giftings that they have is, that's probably not going to happen right away. But what you discover is, I was talking to someone who visited just this past Sunday, and hey, it was great to have you. We talked and conversed, and we talked and talked and talked about different things. And finally, I guess I threw enough little questions out there. He said, well, I Actually, I pastored before. Oh, wow, wow. You see, it wasn't thrown out there in the water first, but out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. And so the truth of that came out in conversation, okay? That's what we call humility, okay? Okay? It would be like me walking into a place and maybe for the first time, hey, what's your name? Yeah, Wallace, and I'm a preacher. Oh, really? Okay, well, thank you for telling me that. Okay, now, what does that have to do with this meeting? Well, you don't want me to do anything, you know? No, let me tell you what most preachers enjoy doing. If you have a chance to get away, you like to arrive late, sit in the back, and leave the service early. Okay? Lest you be recognized, okay? Because Pastor Joy can tell you, this actually happened to us one Sunday morning. We were visiting a church. We walked in. Good morning, Pastor Wallace. How are you? I said, man, we're doing well. And we just, you know, we had this Sunday off, and we weren't out of town. We just kind of wanted to pop in here and worship with you guys. I said, who's preaching for y'all today? He said, you are. I said, what? He said, yeah, we don't have anybody today. Oh, come on. You know, that's not what I wanted, Pastor Noli. I just wanted to receive, okay? Did I do it? Yeah, I did it, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be a recipient. I wanted to drink from the well and not just have to give out, okay? And so, you know, I think God is ringing the bell for us here tonight to say, make sure that I asked you earlier, hey, do you know what your gift is? It's wonderful to know what your gift is, but walk with it humbly before God, because he didn't have to gift you that way. You know? I said to my son one day, he's playing the guitar, and I said, man, I wish I could do that. He said, you can. I said, no, I can't. He said, no, you don't want to. And I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not gifted to play. He said, but you can learn. You just don't want to bad enough. Okay, I received that. I don't like it because it makes me feel like less than, you know, whatever. But he said, really, Dad, if you really wanted it, you would go after it. But you don't really want it. Okay? I said, okay, I can take that. So guess what? I don't want to play the guitar. All right? And, you know, I mean, we have to understand that God has unique giftings. And I want to speak to that person that just feels like, well, hey, you know, I'm not gifted at anything. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have deposited in you the gifting, spiritual giftings. You know, even a lot of people that have this gift of mercy don't like the gift of mercy. Because, you know, they feel like, hey, you always call me to the underdog. You always get me to show mercy. But you know what? It takes that special person with that heart of compassion to release that mercy, okay? I know in our circles here, like for instance, I've noticed that some people recognize gifting, okay? You recognize, you acknowledge other people's gifting. So maybe even me as a pastor, sometimes I might be in a meeting and I might somebody say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm praying for healing. I'll say, hey, Pastor Mike, would you come here? He said, why'd you call Pastor Mike? Because it's evident through his travels, through his journeys, it's evident that God has cultivated a gift of faith in his life, okay? So why would I not just say, hey, why don't you, or maybe, you know, I just feel this urgency like somebody, you know, somebody, God wants to say something to this person. I don't get it. Pastor Noli, would you come here? And maybe because he's been used prophetically, okay? So here's what I'm saying is, once you discover or once you recognize gifting in someone, I think God delights that you would choose to go where the gifting is and say, hey, let me get, I know somebody who can pray for you. Pastor Mike, come here. I know somebody who can speak over you, you know, because you recognize that gifting. And when you also have a gifting in your own life and you recognize it, be willing to say, God, I want to use this for you and for your glory. I don't want to take any credit. I don't want to have the light shining on me, but I sure don't want to miss being used by you. You know, I remember one time years ago, I was in a large scale service. There was about 1,200 people there, and I had been utilized in the prophetic gifting of responding to a message in tongues, but never in a large crowd. always, it was no problem when there was 50 at our Sunday night service. It was fine to say, thus saith the Lord, and I hear the Lord saying this. But I looked around, and when that message in tongues was given, my heart was just like, boom, 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 boom. I thought, Lord, no, not here. There's like 1,200 people here. And you know what I did? I didn't respond. And there was a long season of waiting, and just people began just to worship again. And then that thing just waned. The pastor stepped up there and said to the person, listen, you gave an utterance in tongues. What do you sense the Lord is saying? That's the biblical way, by the way. Let he who speaks in an unknown tongue, what? Pray that he may interpret. So you say, well, the responsibility is on the pastor. No, the responsibility is on the person who spoke the tongue. Okay? So what do you feel? And they responded. And I was back there on the back thinking, man, I cried like a baby. I grieved because I had missed the opportunity. And I said, Lord, I will never do that again. Please forgive me for not walking by faith. Please forgive me for being intimidated by numbers tonight. And I felt so like I'd missed God's will so badly. Listen, just walk humbly before God if you've got a gift that God's manifesting in your life. You know, and if you are used in the gift of God, it doesn't matter if it's serving, helps, whatever, or it could be preaching the gospel or teaching or prophetic ministry or whatever. If you are used in that and you humbly submit that gift to God, you know who wins? Everybody wins. Because you win because you are obedient to the Lord. And because of your obedience, the receivers in the room that night win, or that day, whatever time of the day it is, if it's a service or gathering or prayer meeting, the recipients win too, because you were able to walk humbly before God. It's a tremendous challenge for us to, you know, to discover sometimes, God, what is it that you've uniquely gifted me to do? But when you do discover what your gifting is, and some of you will, through this process, you just say, God, here I am. Use me for your glory, for your honor. Use me. And Lord, don't let me get in the way of it. Don't let me get in the way of it. Let me stand before you with honesty and openness and submission. Flow through me, Lord. And you receive the glory and not me. You know, Jesus said of the Pharisees that stood on the corners with their loud sounding prayers, you know what he said? They have their reward already. They have it. You know, an importance in spiritual gifts, he said, have you ever noticed that the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 are sandwiched between with a big old piece of meat called what? Love. The love chapter's in the middle, because everything you do, you make sure you do it in a spirit of love, so you won't be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Remember the gong show? How many of y'all are old enough to remember that? When someone would start singing whatever and somebody would just walk over there and take that mallet and go, boom, sit down. We don't want to be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What we submit, we want to submit to the Lord and say, God, thank you. You know, I tell people, I tell pastors when I'm preaching them, I've asked this before, how many of you feel like you're a good preacher? I've got 150 preachers out there. How many of you feel like you're a good preacher? And you'll see something like this, like, you know, no. Can I just say this to you? I'm a good preacher, okay? I don't say that in a sense of arrogance or being cocky. God wants you to have a confidence about what you do, but he doesn't want you to be so confident that you've stolen the glory for that moment. Bathe your gifting in God's submission and say, Lord, thank you for gifting me. Thank you for giving me confidence to speak a message or to preach a sermon or teach a lesson or give a prophetic word. And Lord, help me always to submit that to you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we're a part of your royal priesthood. Thank you, God, that we're a part of your holy nation. Thank you, Lord, that in this room, God, you have called us all to be ministers of your love, to release the power of the message of the gospel in so many different ways. Lord, we count it a delight. Would you release giftings in this room? Would you stand with me tonight? Would you just release those giftings, God? Begin to stir our hearts. Begin to allow us, God, as Paul said, to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Lord, would you turn our attention to an eagerness to be used by you, God, as a vessel in your hands. We'll be careful to thank you for it, God. You have saved us, you have redeemed us, and you have, Lord, gifted us to be used by you. And we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give the Lord praise tonight, would you? I want to ask you, if you're here tonight, listen, we don't want to overlook this. I know we meet for an hour here and it's 8 o'clock. I get that. But man, I would hate to miss an opportunity to minister to someone who has a special need. If our pastors, our prayer team leaders, would you guys just come and stand across the front here? We can execute so much faster that way because we can pray for so many different people at one time. But would you step out of here, just line up, and would you that are here tonight, look at this crowd, come on. Look at this crowd of people that have come tonight. Would you, if you have a need, maybe you're struggling in your health, maybe you're struggling physically, maybe you're struggling emotionally, maybe you're struggling spiritually, maybe there's confusion that is trying to creep into your life. If you need someone just to agree with you for something tonight, come on, quickly step out of your seat and let someone agree with you. Would you do that? Come on, as we just begin to worship him for a moment. Hallelujah. Just step out. Let somebody agree with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you need somebody to pray with you, just come. Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Touch my hands, Lord, in my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak from me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Thank you.
encourage those of you that are watching online, if you would, just simply comment in the section below if you have a special request, special need, something you'd like to see God to do. Please just comment in the section below. We'll respond to you. And we thank you for being a part of this word and worship experience tonight. Come on, just fellowship among yourselves. Give the Lord a hand, would you? Fellowship, connect, say hello. We see a couple of new families here from across the county line from Gates County, North Carolina. Come on, give thanks for them. Glad to see both two families there from Gates County. God bless you guys. Hug on somebody in fellowship, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you all.